All right, we have basketball, sort of, because it's over. State's done. Duke's done. I don't know what Brian Geisinger is going to do with his time now. Pack Pride, Devil's Den, let's pick up the pieces. Brian Geisinger joins us at @BGeis_Bird. Let's start with the Wolfpack, Brian. What went wrong there?
Well, you know, I thought State played pretty well over the weekend, actually. You know, all things considered, I didn't like that matchup with Creighton. I thought it was a pretty tough. I saw that going bad for State more than I did saw it, you know, going well, just the way things were sort of lined up on paper.
Uh-huh.
But man, Terquavion Smith was awesome.
Yep.
He was so good in that game. I'm so happy for him to have that moment. 32 points.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't like even his most efficient performance of the season, but given his struggles down the back third of the calendar of the season, his mentality was so good in that game, going right at Kalkbrenner in the drop coverage, just getting downhill, finishing at the rim. I thought his patience on, with the exception of maybe a couple of plays, was really good, and it was matched with his aggression. And the dunk he had over Kalkbrenner is like maybe the signature play of that guy's career at State, which given that he scored over 1,000 points in 2 seasons, to pick one of them out. But that kind of half court dunk was really, really impressive. And just unfortunately, like, I thought Jarkel Joyner, who's been incredible this season, obviously,
yep,
and they're not here without him, to be clear. You know, I just thought it seemed like he was settling a little bit against the drop and really kind of like leaning on the pull-up jumper a little bit too much. And that along with DJ Burns being in foul trouble,
yeah,
and not being able to get the post-up game going. I mean, they were just, when they don't have Burns in the post-up game, they're so dependent on Joyner and Smith in the pick and roll. And when one of those guys doesn't have it going, like Joyner didn't back on Friday, then it just gets really, really tough. But I thought State guarded well. They probably got a little bit of shooting luck with Creighton missing so many shots the first, you know, 95% of that game. But for me, what I'll remember from that game is how, you know, Terquavion performed. And just, look, State got it. It was a tough matchup. And that Creighton team, that's not a normal 6-seed team, to be clear.
Right.
I mean, there's probably 4 or 5 NBA players on that roster. They're top 25 in offense and defense, and they're making shots right now, or at least they did in yesterday's game against Baylor. So they look formidable at the moment. But for State, I'll remember Terquavion's performance.
I saw a number of people pick Creighton to go to the Final Four, so obviously they were a good team.
Yeah.
And they were playing at a top 10 level. And once they got healthy, it, you know, much like Duke was, whatever their record was when they were, you know, they had their starting lineup intact, when they had all their, you know, people intact. You know, that's cool. They were really good then, but so was Creighton. When Creighton was fully operational, they were a top 10 team and playing at a very high level. So, yeah, it was. I think defense is kind of cumulative. So even when on possessions, when it's not there, if you play good defense, it does tend to rush your opponent. So I give a lot of times I'll give credit for the defense wasn't there this possession, but it has been there the last 3 possessions. So I think, especially when it comes to jump shooting, I just think that it kind of has a lasting impact. I was surprised that they were as inefficient offensively. I thought Terquavion Smith had one of his more efficient games offensively, but to get nothing really out of Joyner that way, mm-hmm, and not to get enough help from the other places that you normally would get help from, Morsell, Clark, things like that, and Burns' foul trouble, and also Dewana's foul trouble, which didn't help.
That's a great point. The Ernest Ross at 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's something that I think State could have maybe experimented more at times with this season, but like that obviously, like, you know, NCAA tournament against, you know, an all Big East center, 7'1" guys, you know, obviously that was not experimentation. That was them, you know, sort of in desperation. And I think it's, you know, you can't just like copy and paste a player into the lineup. And I think it's, you know, even if Dusan Mihorčić is available this season, like, you know, DJ Burns probably doesn't have the year that he does. But like, that is certainly one of those games where Mihorčić, with his experience, his size, his physicality, would have been helpful. And that's not the first NC State loss that I've like thought that with
right
this season. But yeah, you could see they immediately went to the high-low against Ross. Kalkbrenner scored or got fouled. And then State had to start loading up on the backside. Crate started skipping it over the top. And all of a sudden, Trey Alexander is getting to attack a closeout, not try to work pick and roll. Mm. I thought that was a place where Creighton was able to build a little bit of, you know, flow on offense in the second half.
Yeah, and Greg McDermott's a really good coach, and you knew he'd be able to do stuff like that. All right, real quick before we get to Duke, what is State's roster likely to look at in terms of existing players next year?
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of these guys can come back. I mean, Jarkel Joyner, you know, the eligibility is, that's it. You know,
right.
This is his last college game. And I think Mihorčić, barring a medical redshirt, I believe his eligibility is exhausted.
They said they're going to try to get it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they should. He should do it. But everyone else, in theory, other than, I mean, even like, I imagine Terquavion Smith is going to enter the draft again and keep his name in this year. But
right. In
theory, I guess he could be back. I just don't expect him to. You know, I do think guys like someone like Jack Clark, I think he came with the plan of playing for 2 years here. DJ Burns is someone that makes a lot of sense to come back and be like the face of the program, be one of the faces of college basketball, make a bunch of money via NIL.
He'll do well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's that compared with him, you know, trying to go the G League route or trying to play abroad. I mean, you know, he's a talented guy beyond basketball. So it's like, but my guess is it would make a lot of sense financially for him to want to come back. Marcel, he's played 4 years of college basketball. Like, maybe he thinks it's time to move on, but you know, he still has an extra year of eligibility via the NCAA's COVID rules. So
right.
If Marcel wanted to play an extra year, my guess is he would want to stay at State.
Sure.
You know, in lieu of going to his third school. But I suppose there's a program that could maybe offer him a bigger offensive role other than catch and shoot that maybe he'd be in line for. And the only other thing I would say is, like, just right now the front court looks like it could be a little crowded next year. Like, if Mihorčić is back, if Burns is back, you've still got guys like Gant and Ross and Dewana that all have eligibility. What's going to happen with Isaiah Miranda? So just like, it does kind of feel like there's going to have to be some movement some way, you know, somewhere in there.
Right.
Because it's just the numbers game is, it gets tough quickly.
All right. So we're almost out of time. We spent all that time on, that's fine. We spent all that time on State. We got like 2 minutes or so left. was it Duke just got out physicaled by Tennessee, and understanding also that Mark Mitchell was not there to provide great free safety help defensively?
Yeah, they really could have used him in this game, obviously. I think, as you and I have discussed, Gold, like, Mitchell's really come online as a guy that can be impactful as a help defender. And given how they want to use Lively guarding ball screens, they need someone on the backside to help put out fires. And Mitchell's really good at that at an early age. But I just couldn't believe Tennessee's physicality defensively. Like, I mean, it really was, you know, the Pete Carroll style of, like, not Pete Carrill, Pete Carroll, the style of, like, they can't call every foul.
Right.
I just, the amount of physicality on the perimeter was, like, kind of astonishing. And it's honestly, it's a little unfortunate that, like, that style is, like, a viable, like, just foul every possession. And I think Duke's foul trouble also got them in trouble. Like,
yeah.
I do think the second foul that Lively picked up was a ridiculous call where he engages in a handoff and, you know, Roach is getting mugged by Vescovi, and then they call Lively for the foul. So I don't know. It was not like a cleanly officiated game, but Tennessee's defense is incredible. Even without the sort of overtly physical nature to it, they're scheme versatile. They show great health.
Right.
They've got length and just very impressive. That's the number one defense in the country. And they flex their muscles against Duke over the weekend.
It's a good strategy because Duke has used it. And Georgetown used to play that way all the time.
Clemson does it absolutely under Brunell. Yeah.
So you know, if they call it, all right, we can't do this. But if they don't, we keep doing it until they start calling it. And I got no problem with the strategy. You just wish that all games were officiated the same way, because we have seen plenty of games where Tennessee would have either had to back off or they would have all fouled out and had nobody left to play.
Yeah.
I mean, we just don't see enough of it.
Yeah, quick tip of the cap to, you know, I mean, Tyrese Proctor played awesome.
Yep.
The shot making, the playmaking from him looked pretty special at times. He did a lot of NBA stuff in that game. I'll be curious to see if Proctor is back in Durham for a second season. I think that was maybe the plan at one point this season. I don't know if that's changed the final dozen games of the year, but
right.
Proctor, that was really like special basketball from him in terms of creating for others and making his own shots, and Filipowski just being a bulldozer and just, you know, playing into contact as he always does.
Right.
He was pretty awesome in that game too.
Trying to figure out who's going to be back for Duke has to be a fool's errand.
Yeah, I mean, good luck.
Whitehead and Lively are almost absolutely gone.
Yeah.
Jeremy Roach, I don't know where he's going other than to the portal if he wants to leave, if he's looking behind him and he sees the five-star guards coming in. But Roach will be – there'll be a role for Jeremy Roach on this team, and it'll be a big one, regardless of who's here. But Proctor and Mitchell and Filipowski is not a slam dunk next level, high draft pick, because he does lack explosiveness and athleticism at this point. He's not a refined shooter either. So I talked to a scout at the ACC tournament who basically said that none of the guys except for Whitehead were high draft picks. That Whitehead probably because we know what we've seen already. But all the other guys were, back half of the first round at best, more than likely second rounder, including Lively, he said.
I agree with that evaluation. I mean, I do think, Lively plays in theory this skill set at center that's supposed to be fungible, right? Like, you can find a rim run, rim protector guy for, you shouldn't use a lottery pick on those guys. And I tend to agree with that. But, like, I think Derek Lively is going to play in the NBA and be a starter for a long, long time because of the defense.
Yeah.
So even if you don't grade that guy out as anything beyond like the 19th pick or whatever, he still has like pretty serious value.
Rudy Gobert
to the next level. Yeah. Or Nick Claxton with the Brooklyn Nets, there are other sort of like facsimiles, Tyson Chandler, like these kinds of guys like that offer this discrete set of skills. At that possession, and again, Lively has shown like truly special traits on the defensive side of the floor.
Brian Geisinger, Devil's Den, Pack Pride, everywhere. Appreciate your time, my friend. I'll talk to you later.
Wendy's 2 for $6 lets you mix and match some of our best items, like Dave's single with a 10-piece crispy nugs, medium strawberry lemonade with a spicy chicken sandwich, spicy chicken with a Dave's single, Dave's single with a strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, if you're into that. Chicken Sam, crispy nugs, strawberry lemonade, Dave's, nugs, Sam. Whew. Pick what you want at a price you want. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's 2 for $6.
For a limited time, price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. On the card only. Single item at regular price.
The Panthers in free agency have been great, but all of their moves in the last week of free agency are all done knowing that they had to make the one move first, and that was the trade of number 9 to get number 1 from the Chicago Bears. Frank Reich talked to the media today, and this is partially about his direct boss, the general manager, Scott Fitterer, but also the owner, David Tepper, in essentially being aggressive and pushing for the move.
His analysis of those options, I thought, was spot on and kind of helped push us to the right decision to get up to number one and to make that decision and to be in control. So is there more pressure with that? I guess so, but I don't feel it like that. I just feel like we're just looking. I feel more freedom when we can actually get the guy that we want. We can take the time. We don't. we're in the driver's seat, so I feel that more than I feel pressure.
First of all, he also made some reference to say that he had a high grade on Russell Wilson the year Russell Wilson came out of the draft. It was a question about small quarterbacks. So he said, don't read anything into it. I have a hard time believing that they traded from 9 to 1 without in their mind being pretty sure who that number one was going to be. But whoever that is, if you don't draft one, you might not get him. Because I'm sure there's, I'll bet you that depending on the team, I don't know if anybody's got Will Levis at number one, but depending on the team going into the draft, you could make an argument for Young or Stroud or Richardson. I don't think you can make the argument that Will Levis is the best quarterback prospect of the group. But I think you can make an argument for the other three. And whether it's Bryce Young, who I think is the best passer in the group, C.J. Stroud, who, and we talked about it last week, and this is what I heard over the weekend, he's the safest pick. What does that mean? what does the safest pick mean to anybody?
I don't know.
I mean, is he the best passer? Well, maybe not the best passer. He's big. Is he the... I don't even understand that. So is he just a game manager? Is he Mac Jones? I mean, I really don't know. But that's the way it's been phrased. And he's the safest pick. And then you've got Anthony Richardson, who has the most game-changing athletic ability of the four, but is completely raw as a quarterback. And if you're drafting him one overall, he can't play in year one. Right, it's not like when Cam Newton came out of Auburn, Cam was already a champion. He had just taken Auburn, put Auburn on his back. Notice how many pros didn't come out of Auburn. He put Auburn on his back and won a national championship because he was that guy. Anthony Richardson isn't that guy, but he's got the most athletic ability of anybody in this class at quarterback, and he has shown flashes of great. He's going to need a year to kind of figure out the NFL game. So if they draft him number one, they can't really put him on the field. Young could play. Stroud could play. Richardson probably can't, but that doesn't mean that Richardson can't be that guy. But I have a hard time believing that they would trade from 9 to 1 and not kind of have a pretty good idea over who that guy is going to be.
Wendy's 2 for $6 lets you mix and match some of our best items, like Dave's single with a 10-piece crispy nugs, medium strawberry lemonade with a spicy chicken sandwich, spicy chicken with a Dave's single, Dave's single with a strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, if you're into that. Chicken Sam, crispy nugs, strawberry lemonade, Dave's, nugs, Sam. Whew. Pick what you want at a price you want. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's 2 for $6.
For a limited time, price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. On the card only. Single item at regular price.